Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Thursday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Kington here with Jim Cramer at Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. David Faber has the morning off. Farewell, Q1. It was good to know you. Very good, in fact. All-time closing highs. Best Q1 for the S&P since 2019. The 14th best going all the way back to the 1920s. Busy day today with Fed speak, eco data, and some M&A. Our roadmap begins with stocks on track for a fifth straight monthly gain as we wrap up March in Q1. Home Depot announcing the biggest acquisition ever for them, buying building products to distributor SRS, more than $18 billion, including debt. And the sentencing hearing for FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried due to get underway in New York City later on this hour. Let's begin with the markets, though, as we close out Q1. Jim, you've been talking about broadening, but yesterday was what an example of it.
Well, I mean, but I would say, I mean, the banks are great. The industrials are great. There's some healthcare like Merck that's phenomenal. An entertainment company like Disney, of course, we got a proxy fight there. American Express was amazing this quarter. So if you think about it, and Caterpillar, American Express, Caterpillar, Disney, these are remarkable companies to be winning right here at a time when JP Morgan, at a time when the Fed's, you know, tightening and or not loosening, and Waller says, look, we got to take our time. So I think the Fed really misled you. There were two markets. There was the Fed, which took you off the track, and then there were the earnings. That's why I mentioned Peter Lynch last night, great investor at Magellan Fund. The earnings saved you. So if you watch the earnings, you did great. If you watch the Fed, you should just go do another job, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. There are people who follow the Fed, and they do it as a hobby, and it's great. Some get paid,
yes.
But it hurts you. And I just don't. I want people at home to understand that in the end, if you followed the companies, you made a lot of money. And if you followed the Fed, you stayed out of the market. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, it is interesting this morning to see the futures at least sort of look past Waller last night, as he said, no rush to cut. Some of the price trends disappointing. Wants to see at least a couple of months of better data. Here's what Waller said.
In the absence of an unexpected and material deterioration in the real economy, I'm going to need to see at least a couple of months of better inflation data before I have enough confidence that beginning to cut rates will keep the economy on a path to 2% inflation.
And of course, we just got revisions to Q4 consumption, at least up 0.3.
Yeah, and tomorrow, there'd be a Good Friday. We've got great reporting here, and it's going to be, those numbers will be hot, PCE. And all you need to do is just listen to Steve Squeri at American Express or listen to Gary Friedman at RH. Gary was so ecstatic. I sent him an email. I said, geez, Gary, I guess, you know, happy days are here again. Because the cadence of homes, which are, by the way, the 30th, you know, it's been 30 years since homes have been this bad. The cadence of his business went up dramatically. Which is really good news.
RH is going to open up 10%. B of A today reiterates a buy, says they think demand could outpace revenue this year by 4 to 8 percentage points.
Gary bought back 30% of his company, basically just said, you know what, Wall Street, the hell with you. I'm buying back stock. He's opening stores everywhere. They're not stores. I'm sorry. They're basically museums to furniture. I think he's an amazing merchant. And he's reinvented himself. He talks a lot about Picasso. You have to destroy yourself to reinvent. By the way, if you want to treat, just read his letters.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you really want to treat, look what he says to the analysts who don't really get it.
One of the best examples of earnings color that we get every quarter.
It's the best.
Here's a quick listen to Friedman last night.
Well, we expect business conditions to remain challenging until interest rates ease and the housing market begins to rebound. We expect our demand trends to accelerate throughout 2024. Due to the extensive transformation of our assortment, we do expect revenue to lack demand during the year by approximately 4 to 8 points until we read and react to new collections, reduce back orders, and shorten special order lead times. Therefore, we will be guiding and reporting both demand and revenue growth each quarter during fiscal 2024, so shareholders and investors can accurately analyze the business.
Got the source book coming out soon. He has this rollout of Great Plains, just rolled out Cleveland. What he does is goes to every area that has wealthy people, and he puts his places in. At point blank, it is all wealthy people because the stuff is very expensive. But without, and this man has a vision, Paris, London. He wasn't that really happy with London, but they're doing this incredible place that's like, what was that, Bond House? Darkfall, whatever. I mean, he's got this great place in the country, and I have to applaud him. Everyone wrote this company off a second time, and he has what people want who are wealthy, and he recognizes that there's a class of people everywhere around the globe that wants his stuff, and he's really the only one. So I think this is a great story, and I think it's been a while. Gary had been so downbeat on his last calls that I would send him an email saying, "Gary, you got to cheer up." And then I would send him something that my wife had bought that just made the quarter for him. And now, I mean, he didn't need my wife to make the quarter.
You mentioned the enthusiasm out of RH. You talked about the multi-year highs in energy, financials, healthcare, materials. But Jim, year-to-date total return NVIDIA is 80+%.
Well, I mean, that's disappointing because a week ago it was much better.
Yeah.
Look, I started recommending NVIDIA 3 here, and 3.5. And when it dropped to 3, I was widely pilloried. Of course, it was split. But there's no doubt about it that if you look at what Jensen's doing and you read between the lines about the Anthropic deal. Now, Anthropic, which Amazon had put that more money in, it was actually they had committed it, put the money in.
Your biggest venture investment ever.
Right. Anthropic runs on NVIDIA, and they're the biggest customer, Amazon, Anthropic. So, I mean, when you look at NVIDIA, you say, what are they doing? Well, how about they're dominating in this space? And they're dominating with Google, Amazon, Oracle. Who else do you need? Microsoft? Everybody is in. They all run on NVIDIA. And if you think it's going to be a commodity, it doesn't matter. You have to run on NVIDIA. And the thing is that now what you're doing is you're feeding movies to NVIDIA, you're feeding stills to NVIDIA, you're feeding every book to NVIDIA, every article it's ever written. That all goes to this Blackwell. And Blackwell can basically, I'm glad David Faber's not here because Blackwell's smarter than we are. It also knows what we want to drink. It knows what we want to eat. It can make it better than anyone. If you look at Chipotle, which is a really good piece today, very positive. They have amazing throughput. If you were to merge what Blackwell can do, which is their high-end chip, with what Chipotle can do, because they're very good about tech, you can have a store that only has a couple of people. It would be what I don't know if you remember. It would be the chef of the future. Lucille Ball.
Right. Yeah, yes. Speaking of Easter candy. By the way, you mentioned Oracle. Deutsche adds to the fresh money list today. I guess my question is, do you feel the need to pivot as we turn the page here, the calendar page, away from some of the Mag Seven and towards some of these other?
Yeah, I do. Because these others, when you get a Home Depot making this acquisition. You had a Caterpillar, it's had a big move, but that means there's a lot of other stocks that can go through it. There's a piece today about data centers, largest users of copper. I'm going short FTX, I'm going long FCX. And I do think that we're seeing a lot of companies that have been dogs move up. Estee Lauder, one of my worst picks.
Oh my gosh, big upgrade today.
What a pivot going into Amazon from being travel, resort, and China. Your Kimberly-Clark is another good one to watch. Colgate, which rings the bell today, along with for Elta, MD Skin, another good one. So you're seeing it broaden. I thought this was incredible. Morgan Stanley likes, they like SL Green and Vornado. I thought they went out of business.
And we mentioned the SL Green Barclays upgrade yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, SL Green went out of business and it's like almost 100% occupied. Incredible. I'm just joking. SL Green is an amazing company. And you have to go to Grand Central to know. And I know that's very hard for a lot of analysts to do. Modelo, Constellation is going to be number one because Bud lost so much shelf space as they do the reorganization. And I just find when you see Norfolk Southern up, Home Depot go up, and Estee Lauder go up, and DraftKings make a comeback, and Wells Fargo do well, and J.P. Morgan, this is a follow the leader, but the leaders are everywhere. And let's let Mag 7 rest a little bit. let's let it rest. We don't. It doesn't have to go up every quarter.
And let the troops joining the generals,
yes,
as
yeah,
Garzarelli likes to say.
But you don't want. Now, I went to Zuck, to Mark Zuckerberg, of course, because I thought it was photoshopped that he was with
Jensen.
Yes, because Jensen was not wearing the Telltale leather jacket. Indeed, it is Zuckerberg.
They switched.
Yeah, and that, yes, indeed. And that is another client. That may be, now remember, when I asked Jensen about, would Andy Jassy, who runs Amazon, would he want Blackwell, would he want, he said, he'll take everyone. I mean, so you've got these people, you can't, if you sell NVIDIA, I do want you to still send me that invitation to your funeral. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me exactly what date, because I'll be able to guess it. But I do think that one has to win just because the demand is great. Now, Salesforce quietly has lined up a bunch of companies for the enterprise that they are going to do. There's an announcement coming. Snowflake, Google is going to be in it. Amazon will be in it. So there are a lot of, these second-tier ServiceNow doing incredibly well. Bill McDermott will be on soon. So we have a lot of good companies doing well that make it so that, maybe you can buy the ancillaries. The ancillaries.
Right.
But J.P. Hunt was one of the best performers. That's incredible. I had Norfolk Southern on there. They're in a proxy fight. And they're doing great. I mean, there's just that in intermodal. Look at that winner list. Now, Merck, last night Rob Davis said on the show that this medicine that affects the boutique, that it actually could be expanded and really end the hardening of the aorta. I mean, the hardening, that would be the end of congestive heart failure. He mentioned that he thought the Keytruda might cure cancer. I mean, I'm sitting there, I'm listening to this man saying, well, listen, we could get a solution for congenital heart and we could cure cancer? I mean, what, Merck should be at 200 if that's true. 200, St. Merck.
It was a good interview last night, and I know you got Walgreens, Tim Wentworth tonight. We're going to get to that quarter.
He's going to have
and the guidance in a moment.
He has a little explaining to do about some things that were bought last year.
Yes.
Kind of written right off there.
Meanwhile, it is sentencing day for FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried. Faces a maximum sentence of more than a century behind bars. We're going to take you live to that scene, talk about how that develops later on this morning. In the meantime, futures looking okay here, coming off the 21st closing high of the year so far. More Squawk on the Street straight ahead.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried set to receive his sentencing today in Manhattan federal court, months after being found guilty of orchestrating that multi-billion dollar fraud that prompted the collapse of his crypto exchange. That hearing set to get underway in a few minutes from now, and our Kate Rooney's outside the courthouse this morning. Morning, Kate.
Hey, Carl, good morning. Yeah, we saw Sam Bankman-Fried's parents arriving at the courthouse this morning ahead of today's hearing. Bankman-Fried's crimes carry a max sentence of more than 100 years. The prosecution has recommended 40 to 50 years. As they put it, he understood the rules, but decided they did not apply to him. They say that sentence is sufficient and severe enough to provide justice and to dissuade others from committing similar crimes. Bankman-Fried's attorneys, meanwhile, have suggested 5 to 6 years. They say their client is on the autism spectrum. They describe him as a brilliant, complex, and humane person, not a villain. They also claim the $10 billion loss figure is overstated and the harm to customers, lenders, and investors is zero, they argue, because the money has largely been recouped. They blame the Chapter 11 team. John Wray, the new CEO of FTX, in a letter to the judge, called those statements categorically false, called the exchange when it collapsed a metaphorical dumpster fire. This debate over losses is going to be key today in that courtroom. Typically, the larger the loss, the longer the sentence. The bankruptcy estate has marshaled about $7 billion in customer assets so far. And while customers could get the dollar value of their accounts back the time FTX collapsed, they won't get their cryptocurrency, meaning some missed Bitcoin's 300% rise since then. The judge has sole discretion in that sentencing. But the fact that Bankman-Fried testified, intimidated witnesses, and may have perjured himself, guys, could weigh on that decision. Back to you.
Kate, I'm wondering your thoughts about the SBF sentencing memo, where they're arguing for 5 to 6 years, in part because they claim he never valued or desired great personal wealth or status. Does that ring true?
Yeah, they talk about the fact that they say he was not motivated by greed, which is the complete opposite of what we heard from the prosecution. They talked about the multi-million-dollar penthouses he was buying in the Bahamas. And they said sort of, you know, greed looks different for different people. He may not have been driving a Lamborghini, but the prosecution describes that as immense greed, that he was doing these campaign donations and violating campaign finance laws, all in the name of, you know, really his own ego. And that's sort of how they described it. You know, it might not be the traditional sense of greed, but that's what the prosecution has argued. The defense, meanwhile, says that he had this moral compass. We heard that through some of the witness letters looking for leniency, including from his mom, who talked about he was a precocious child, he cares about other people, and they've tried to show the other side of Sam Bankman-Fried. It's really up to the judge at the end of the day, but he saw Sam Bankman-Fried on the stand, potentially perjuring himself. Experts I'm talking to say that's really going to weigh on this sentencing. The fact that he may have committed a crime in front of the judge could end up adding decades to the sentence.
All right. Well, Kate, first, you've covered this really well. So let me ask you a question. I once had to give a sentencing speech for the prosecution in a federal case, and I was impassioned about it. And I know that 10 years were added to the person's sentence. I didn't expect that. But is there any chance that there could be that the judge might say that the prosecution is too lenient?
Yeah, so that's a possibility, Jim. And we've heard from victims. We expect to hear more today, and that could influence the outcome here. We've heard from about 100 victims so far in some of these letters. Some of them have been really passionate. The judge could say, you know, he's a young guy. That's some of what the arguments in these letters have been, that he has a lot of potential. He had the potential to commit severe crimes, but is also, by a lot of accounts, a brilliant young person. And to put the type of person Sam Bankman-Fried is, with that amount of potential and intelligence, in jail for this long, it could, depending on how you see it, be a disservice to society, which is what at least his mother has argued, which you can understand where she's coming from. But we have heard that, and that could also, how young he is could also play into this. They may not want to send him away for life, which is what I'm hearing from experts. The range, the consensus is really 20 to 30 years.
All right. Lex Luthor was a brilliant man.
Kate, it's important that you're there for us today. I really appreciate that. We look forward to checking in with you throughout the morning. When we come back, Cramer's Mad Dash will count down to the opening bell with one more look at the futures on this final trading day of Q1.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
Let's get to Cramer's Mad Dash and wait for the opening bell here.
Wow. Okay, Walgreens. Here's a man, Tim Wentworth. He wants to put everything behind him. And he wants to do it now. He is closing. Well, we don't know. He's taking big write-downs for Village MD and for apparently Summit MD. I mean, he's just kind of getting out of that doc-in-the-box business. He did fortunately have a lot of Cencora shares, so he can sell that. People don't like the fact that he the guidance wasn't that good. But I would say this about Tim, who's going to be on tonight. He bit the bullet. He's making it a clean break with the past, and he had to. Some people are saying that this gives the games that matches CBS. I come back and say, look, he wants to get out of a business that was really terrible, that was added on. The only problem is they just did it last year, but he wrote the they made a big acquisition last year. Yeah. Worse than Goldman Sachs is the way I look at this.
Yeah. Retail pharmacy comps, though, up 4+.
Yes. And he's going to, I mean, my understanding, you're going to go into the store. You're not going to pass the Cheez-It aisle anymore because that's the anti-GLP. And you're going to get your GLPs there. It's going to be all pharmacists. It's going to be the place you get it. Amazon might be able to beat him. I don't know. But Wentworth is an operator, and he sold Express Scripts for a huge amount of money. He did not need to come back to work. He's doing it at his own leisure. I cannot wait to talk to him tonight. He's brilliant. This is exactly what you have to do. You have to do a total reset, and he's doing it. We had three Walgreens. When the third Walgreens opened up next to us was all Duane Reade. I went to the CEO. I said, you know, you have three within a block. He goes, concentration.
I know you've been excited for his tenure to begin.
Oh, I love him because he's a big thinker, and he basically is going to say, we are going to win, and it starts today. That's why he's coming on.
Yeah, we look forward to that tonight on Mad Money at 6. We'll get the opening bell in just about 5 minutes. Let's get to Home Depot and its largest acquisition ever. The retail giant buying specialty distributor SRS for more than $18 billion, including debt. Deal comes as HD looks to capitalize on the growing business with professional contractors. Jim and Decker says this could increase that TAM by $50 billion.
It's incredible. The total addressable market is $1 trillion. I had Builders First Source on, which has been one of the best stocks in the S&P for years and years. And that is a nation's largest supplier of structural building products, value-added components, serves the professional market for single-family homes. They're crushing it. So maybe this is also a way to be able to blunt them. I think the world of Home Depot, I think they're amazing. This is great. Remember, we are in their Christmas season. Gardening starts in another 4 weeks. This is a terrific, terrific move by them because now they'll really kind of just say, you know, we have every base covered. I don't know what Marvin Ellison can do with Lowe's. I mean, Lowe's does a lot of do-it-yourself. But what can I say? This is, I've been waiting for somebody to blunt this Builders First Source, which I love. 570 locations, 43 states, 29,000 people. Maybe this does that. Actually, Home Depot doesn't need to blunt anything. That's how powerful they are. But I think Ted Decker's fantastic.
Meanwhile, page one of the FT this morning is about Q1 blockbuster M&A deals, meaning $10 billion plus. The number doubled year on year.
Oh, well, you got to go to the Jefferies quarter. The Jefferies quarter last night was so remarkable, and they're saying the credit markets are going to be great. This kind of market, the takeover market's going to be great. It was an extraordinary quarter, and that's going to be the beginning of what I think is going to be some amazing quarters from a lot of the companies in the banking business because there's so many deals. Read that Jefferies quarter, people. That's an amazing quarter they put together. Richard Handler, incredible.
Yeah, and of course, financial earnings for Q1, not that far away. As we wrap up Q1 today, let's get the opening bell in the CNBC Real-Time Exchange. At the big board, it's DeltaMD, a Colgate-Palmolive brand marking National Dermatologist Day. At the Nasdaq, Boundless Bio, a clinical stage oncology company celebrating its IPO. Jim, as we try to hang on to double-digit gains for the year so far.
What can I say? The broad nature of it is really extraordinary. I think that one of the question marks is, will Amazon be the company that is of the Magnificent Eight, as you retweeted this morning? And the reason I say that is because one of the things that people may not realize, but Claude 3, and I love Claude 3, it's just amazing. That's Anthropic. Past ChatGPT, they're now the number one in the chatbot arena. That's incredible. And that Amazon, we know they just put the money with it.
It's almost $3 billion worth.
It's incredible. I mean, and Claude 3 is funny, great prose. It's very colloquial. It has fewer hallucinations. You know, ChatGPT is incredibly dry, wooden, sounds like a robot. And Gemini is a PowerPoint. And so if you want to have some fun, go to Claude 3. I mean, I use Claude 3 now instead of search. I start with Claude 3 because it's entertaining.
Does that mean you're less positive on Microsoft?
I think that they have the Microsoft PC coming out, and that's going to be amazing. I am less positive on Google. Now, there's a note today by Michael Nathanson, whom I love, from Nathanson, saying YouTube is really good, so don't worry about it. But I think the question is whether search is existentially challenged. I don't go to Google search first anymore. Anyway, I got to go through 50 ads when I go to Google, so I don't want to do that. But chat is good. But Claude 3 is like going in. It's you're speaking to Claude 3, and it's speaking to you. And when I watch these Anthropic guys, They really know what people want. So Amazon is going to be the winner in this. That's why Amazon, again, we're going to have to ask Tim Wentworth when I speak to him on Walgreens. How do you blunt Amazon Pharma? How do you do it? They're amazing. Yeah. And Jassy wants to own that. Well, Jassy wants to own everything.
Yeah, especially after the initiative announced yesterday regarding basically minute away delivery on Pharma.
I mean, I ordered Dove soap right before I started my A block. And when I got home, Dove soap was there.
It is easier than going to the store.
Now, here's what I think. They have AI, and they knew that I needed Dove. They knew I had a rash from the soap that my daughter bought me. So they knew, and they gave me, unfortunately, though, I ordered 10 of them. I didn't know they were six packs. So now I am the Dove distributor in Summit, New Jersey.
If anybody needs soap in Brooklyn, just go to Jim's house.
I am the guy. I'm the guard. I mean, it really is kind of amazing what he's doing.
Yes,
he's doing.
Yes. Although, Jim, thank you, Bespoke. Interesting figure. Five of the Mag 7 are underperforming for a positive month. That hasn't happened in a couple years.
No, because that money is going to places that we would never dream. I mean, the money's going to Colgate, rang the bell. Money's going to American Express is just incredible. Merck is too low. If you have colitis under control, you have heart disease under control, and you have cancer under control, I mean, what are we going to say? I mean, how could that stock be only where it is? In the meantime, I know I'd say Apple, own it, don't trade it, but we had another downgrade today by another outfit, and Apple seems like a pitiful, helpless giant
now. And then there's this Digitimes piece suggesting that a foldable phone gets pushed to 27.
I know.
Is it the next Titan? I mean, it's hard to get a good headline on Apple.
I think that Vision Pro is going to be the shocker. People are going to be surprised. It's business to business. By the way, Tim Wentworth, we mentioned him. That stock's going higher. When you write down everything that your predecessor did and you have a clean slate, that's not negative. That's positive. Remember, this man is very wealthy because he made that great sale of Express Scripts, and he's going to turn on the juice, have him tonight. But Apple, no. I mean, I know what. Look, the long line's been out for Apple. China's not good. I mean, Estee Lauder is going into Amazon and TJX because they've got a problem.
WBA is the number one S&Per this morning. Second is Estee, based on that upgrade that we talked about a moment ago.
They needed to do something because you can't just go do free in China. I just didn't think they'd go Amazon and TJX.
Did you check out this tweet from Ambassador Rahm Emanuel of Japan, our ambassador to Japan, about the lavish dinner, he says, that she gave for these CEOs, and basically called it an offensive, charm offensive, because on the one hand, you're issuing what he called sweet words, and then you're green-lighting cyber attacks.
Yeah, I think it's a mixed blessing here because the Chinese apparently are behind a huge number of the hacks. I have all the cyber guys come on. But I want to see them. You know, Dr. Borla was over there for Pfizer. That's important. Tim Cook. A lot of guys who he needs to have more business done. He needs to have someone open a new factory in China. No one will do it. No one will do it. And meanwhile, Gina Raimondo, who's going to that great women's conference of ours, denying them any of the chips that you need for AI. And the chips from AI, unless Taiwan Semi is an independent, Taiwan, we want Taiwan not to be challenged, obviously, but she is in trouble.
Yeah. Our Michelle Crusoe Cabrera was on Squawk today.
Great?
Great Twitter thread. She spoke to one of the CEOs who was present and said that business sentiment there is terrible and remains terrible.
If you open anything there, but the only thing that I think that Biden and Trump are really united on is how much they really despise China. And we know that there's been that President Trump. I mean, when I spoke to President Trump in the early 2000s, he told me, he said, "Jim, look, China is horrible. They are our enemy." And so he's only hardened his position. Raimondo is going after a much more, I think, sophisticated way, going after intellectual property. But everyone's afraid to open a factory. Any factory that's going to be open is going to be in Mexico.
Yeah, although, Jim, New York Fed earlier in the week had a piece about China's efforts to revamp, say, manufacturing and output, and the impact that might have on global commodities. Watch oil today.
Right.
There's chatter about the first Golden Cross in a couple of years.
That's true. And by the way, copper's moving up, but that's because the data center use, not because of China, which has been the single biggest user of copper. China, of course, constantly building coal plants. One of the reasons why we have climate change. Again, President Trump doesn't believe, I think, in climate change, but I think that the Norfolk Southern is going to pick up a lot of the coal business from CSX, and the coal business tends to be related to China and India.
Right. Meantime, JPM issues a warning of sorts that you could see crude get to 100 before the election based on some of the Russian production cuts?
I don't know.
You think
I
that's too much?
I just think that we have so much in the Permian that we can turn it on. Builders for Source, by the way, down off this Home Depot, just pointing out. I do think that we can make up whatever oil is needed. We can keep oil at, say, 80, 85. The only thing I'm worried about, my friend Rusty Brazil came out today and said that, I'm actually going to say this, but it's true, that we have a total eclipse of the sun coming up.
Yes.
And that's going to hurt the solar industry.
More than Yellen's comments yesterday about Chinese production?
Yeah, I mean, the solar, that's going to be a bad day for solar. That's a good day to buy the solar stocks, though. But I do think that the energy business, I'm not, when you have Marathon Pete, a refiner, being a top five company in the S&P, I mean, wow. I mean, that's why, again, but that's how diverse things are. You have trucking, you have refiners, you have banks. I mean, you know, it's an incredible moment. It's a broad moment. But then again, we have Waller. You know, I think that you have Waller and you make nothing. Well, no, you have Waller, you make 4.7. And you have the rest of these, you make like 20.
Right. Watch Tesla today. A lot of commentary. RBC cuts delivery numbers. Deutsche cuts delivery. Webbush. Dan Ives cuts to 300. Nightmare quarter. White knuckle period ahead.
That's pink jacket. He's going to wear a pink jacket.
And then Goldman with a great macro look at EVs, basically saying EVs are at a turning point. We prefer hybrids. Their bear scenario of negative deliveries this year is more likely, they say.
Detroit Free Press today with an article about how the Ford 150 Lightning plant, basically they're going to do nothing. That was the hope. But you know what? They have the Bronco. And they have the Ranger. They obviously have lots of F-150s that are ICE. I think this is good for I own Ford. I saw Phil LeBeau here, which I should have told him because I think I own Ford for the Chapel Trust. This is fabulous.
So this is the Jonas playbook.
Yes,
like
it is.
The optionality.
Jonas
on
got it right.
He did.
Jonas is where I haven't seen a thing from Jonas in a day. What's going on there? Actually, it's been a couple of weeks. I think the Jonas's Ford call is going to go down as one of the great calls. GM's buyback is amazing, but Tesla. I don't know. I mean, Musk is interested in other things right now.
Yeah, it
doesn't like Bob Iger.
No, or Disney, I think, necessarily.
No,
although we did get this settlement with the
with
DeSantis over Reedy
how about
Creek.
That?
Yeah, yeah.
See, I think that Bob Iger doesn't want. Here's just something I just picked up that he doesn't want Nelson Peltz on the board.
Iger?
Mark my words. I mean, can you believe how bitter that was? It's even more bitter than Norfolk Southern. The Norfolk Southern one, by the way, is a very, very bitter proxy contest. I had them on last night, Alan Shaw. But this one's the most bitter of all.
There's the THR piece from yesterday by Bigers. Basically argues that the board is going to take a firmer hand this time when it comes to things like success.
Look, I've got to tell you, the board is filled with heavyweights. But a lot of them are, as Nelson Peltz would tell you, really busy at their own companies. You know, when you have Safra Katz, I mean, she's crushing it at Oracle, but you have Mary Barr crushing at GM now, I think. Those people are busy doing their job, and I think that I'm not calling for a full board of Council of Foreign Relations and Avon representative, which is what they have, who Peltz wants.
Yep.
But I do think that these people are, they need some people who basically like Gorman. They need, like Rizzullo, like Peltz. I think those guys would, look, Peltz concentrates his mind. I went to the CEO of Procter. And the chairman, they thought he did a great job.
Do you want him anywhere near programming decisions at the studio?
I want him to help to get the search. I know Sonnenfeld's very against him. He calls him the great destroyer of everything or whatever. But I want the board to offer advice on issues involving process. And that's not making movies. Issues involving how do you cut costs or personally, how to have a succession. That Jeff Sonnenfeld told me that's the most important thing.
Right.
And they obviously didn't really know how to do succession. I'd rather have Shiv do the succession.
Yeah, I knew there was going to be a
I had to. Shiv lives in Brooklyn, for heaven's sake.
Jim, Reddit's under pressure as the Huffman sales were filed before the IPO.
Yeah, and it just had that bad feel when it comes out. But look, if they can make money, the stock will go up. But they have more revenue than Trump's company.
Which you have been pretty clear is.
Well, I think that's not a company. That's a campaign finance.
A keepsake, as you did call
it. Yes. And I just think that Reddit is something that they've got to make money. But I think that owning a piece of Trump, if you like Trump, owning a piece of the company, I guess, is something you want to do. I'm not recommending the stock, just to be clear.
Right. Speaking of insider buying and selling Snowflake's new CEO, Ramaswamy bought about $5 million worth.
You know what? When I sat down with him, I could not believe how bullish he is. And by the way, Benioff and Ramaswamy, when Ramaswamy was at Google, made a deal. So I think Snowflake and Benioff are going to have a better relationship than I even thought. When I say, I've got to tell you, he has a bullish story. If you want to don't know whether you really want to be in be all AI. You rent AI with Snowflake, and you find out whether you want it, and then you call Bill McDermott at ServiceNow and say, bring it in, and you call Mark for data. So there's a lot of good things happening when it comes to what Snowflake, of which, by the way, I was very upset when Frank Slootman resigned. I knew he was going to.
Yep.
That's what he does. But Slootman's one of the greats. Let's hope Ramaswamy can follow his footsteps.
Do you think the next chapter in AI is going to be about enterprise stuff?
That's exactly it.
Or is it going to be more about whatever Apple may say on June 10th?
Well, Apple has to, they have to align with NVIDIA. I know that that's not their thinking. I know that's Jensen's thinking. Jensen did a great takeout in his keynote about Apple. But Apple is, you know, marches to its own drummer. And they don't necessarily have to do anything. They can ride things out. But I think a business-to-business initiative by Apple when it comes to the Vision Pro would be, instead of 350,000, 3.5 million. Hmm. That's how big this thing could be.
Kind of like reminds me of the day where the iPad was talked about by Apple as a big enterprise tool. It was going to be lighter on airplanes for pilots, things like that.
Well, I just think that if you're Siemens and you're building these digital twins, everybody in the factory would be doing it on the Vision Pro. If you're Carvana, which, by the way, has been one of the great stocks of all time, if you want to buy a car, you send people the Vision Pro and they get to step in the car, decide if they like it, which is, you know, all you do. You put a chair in your room, you feel like you're in the car. And then you order the car, and but more than likely you're right to own the car. So there are a lot of companies that could use Vision Pro if Apple decides. If Eddie Q is listening, Eddie, this is your chance.
And I know you've been talking, you've thought a lot about the Vision Pro's role in, say, pro sports. What a day. It's opening day. Rubenstein's going to get the O's.
Yeah.
You got the Wizards, Caps staying in D.C.
I know. It's incredible. And by the way, you have a Zaslav-like seat. Mid-court seat if you're wearing the Vision Pro, and they do it right. I mean, this is Zaslav is a big Knicks guy, but I've got to tell you, if you do Vision Pro soccer and Vision Pro basketball, and then if you do Vision Pro for your fantasy, not, of course, a prop player
college.
Fantasy in the fall, this could be so big, but I have to quit here and go run the Vision Pro division. Actually, no, I think I could run it. With Jensen, I could run it in my spare time.
You meant the NCAA prop bet ban. Would that have negative? DraftKings isn't lower on that.
1.2%. Doesn't matter. But I think people have to recognize that you can't gamble if you play. That's out. But I use the sports app. I watched, you know, they send you a note to saying, hey, the Sixers are about to win, you know, close game. I just think Apple, you want to bet against Apple here, go ahead. You might, just tell me when you're going to buy it back, okay? Give me the buy side, not just the sell side.
Jim, some of the GLP-1s, this piece yesterday about the study, that was in JAMA, that argued it's cheap, it's making a month's worth of supply of Ozempic could cost the company as little as 89 cents.
Well, we don't know what the real price is going to be. There are going to be two plants in North Carolina for David Ricks and a plant over in Europe. Those are being done by big contractors to get this thing done. Look, there is very little Zepbound in the country right now. You can't get Zepbound. We're going to ask Wentworth from Walgreens, do you have Zepbound? It's like almost impossible. So everyone, they're doing a lot of Wegovy, but this drug is going to be the biggest of all time.
But you don't think it's worth asking any questions about, I don't know, is it predatory pricing?
We have to get discounts for it. I know Rob Davis is going to have to probably set some discounts for that amazing drug that he had. The government's going to have to play a little more hardball, but these drugs are, when people are talking about these drugs being added to GDP, I know that Larry Fink referenced them directly as being a reason why you got to worry about your retirement, because you're going to live longer.
You're going to live longer.
Larry Fink, by the way, didn't get enough credit for his incredible, it was a screed saying, come on, people, start saving. Yeah. And not just on Bitcoin, although he's very pro-Bitcoin.
Yeah. One of the most important reads of the week. Speaking of data, we did get GDP and claims from Santelli earlier, and now a Chicago PMI. Morning again, Rick.
Good morning, Carl. This is a surprise. Chicago PMI give us a glimpse of manufacturing, expected to be 46, which in and of itself is below expansion of 50, but this is well below, 41.4. This is the lowest level since May of last year, closing in on a year. You can see that yields have slipped a little bit after this number hit the wires, and pre-opening equities have equities already open have popped a little bit. We still have more data to come in the form of pending home sales and University of Michigan sentiment on our final March read, which includes a couple inflation metrics. So the day is a long way from over. Holiday closures tomorrow. We'll cover the big number on CNBC.com, but Chicago PMI, a miss. Squawk on the Street will return after a short break.
A quick programming note. Tomorrow, watch CNBC.com for the most important data point of the week. That is PCE. Morgan Brennan, Steve Leisman, Rick Santelli will be online with the number, of course, the news and analysis. Full coverage begins at 8:15 a.m. Eastern tomorrow, only on CNBC.com. When we come back, it is Stop Trading with Cramer. Let's get to Jim and Stop Trading.
The toll in this United Health, they own this division that Change Healthcare, keeps going up. This was the big hack. I know that when I had Nikesh Arora a week ago, East Palo Alto Network, that had fallen out of favor, but he's been called in to try to help things. I think the hacks continue. This one is the worst one. Now, let me just tell you, I get a call pretty much every day from someone who has all my medical records. They represent themselves from Medicare. I challenge them and want to speak to the supervisor. They say, no, I'm busy. Or then I call them back, and of course the line doesn't exist. They have all of my medical records. Please be careful in this country. They knew every procedure I've ever had that has happened during this one period. So this hack, I think, I don't know if it's United Health that I'm getting, but they know. They have a lot of information, the bad guys.
Yeah.
And when Palo Alto's called in, I think that's a sign that this is one where they may not have as much of a handle on it as they think. I hope they do.
UNH, not the worst out component of the year, but in the top five or so.
Yeah, I mean, they got to get their arms around this whole thing. They got to, because have a hacker know everything about you is the first time I've ever had this. And they represent themselves very well for Medicare. Right. They just say, listen, we're the Medicare part that deals with this kind of issue. I have Tim Wentworth on tonight. Maybe you can talk about that, but mostly we're going to focus on the fact that he's biting the bullet of Walgreens. And I continue to believe that the broadening out of the rally is not being recognized nearly enough. And next is the Russell. And that's my focus for next
Interesting.
Week.
Interesting. That's a deep
focus
tease.
For next week.
Yes, I look forward to hearing more
about
that.
By the way, I mentioned that Cintas, what a quarter. They had a great win. RH, let's watch RH, because Gary Freeman is upbeat. And Gary hasn't been upbeat in a very long time. Very, very long time. What a show.
It was really good, Jim, and a good week. Have a good long weekend. We'll see you tonight.
You betcha.
Bad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern time. When we come back, consumer sentiment. We'll get some UMish, some housing data as Squawk on the Street continues.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge,
and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.